Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 13. The angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Then if you skip down to verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Then skip down to verse 37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Skip over to verse 48. We are all over the place in chapter 1. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." My subject this morning or this afternoon is two women. Two women. Elizabeth, an old woman, don't know how old, but too old to have children. Let's say the older she is, the more the miracle is powerful. Let's say she's 90. She's married. She's a woman of faith. She goes to the temple. She's married to Zechariah. Her husband is a priest. Last Sunday we talked about he finally got the occasion to go to the priest because there were too many priests to have a regular opportunity to be a priest at the temple. The Bible says that they were persons of faith. They walked with God. They were good people. She probably was a middle class person in her day. After all, she was married to a priest, Zacharias. She lived around or close to Jerusalem, most likely. She was well known, most likely. She had probably some influence. But the one thing she wanted more than anything was a son. And she had prayed, and her husband had prayed for years. We don't know how long they prayed, but they prayed and prayed. And finally, Zechariah goes to the temple, and an angel shows up and says, "Your prayers have been heard." How many of you know sometimes you got to pray a long time before your prayers finally get heard? And sometimes we feel like God is tone deaf and that God doesn't really hear our prayers. And when we least expect it, God shows up and answers our prayers. That's one woman. The other woman is a young girl by the name of Mary. We don't know exactly how old, probably 15, 16 years old, young girl. She grows up not in Jerusalem. She grows up out in the country. Poor girl. I know she was poor because, and probably had low self-esteem, because the text says that when the angel showed up, she said that God has regarded me of low estate. Meaning that she didn't think probably too highly of herself. She's poor country girl. And in her case, the angel shows up and surprises her. Christmas is about answered prayers on one hand of an old woman and a surprise visitation by the Holy Spirit by a young girl. You know she was surprised because she was engaged. She's poor. She's a country girl. And she's out there. And all of a sudden, at 15, 16 years old, she's talking about, I've been visited by the Holy Spirit, and I'm pregnant. Now, some of you grew up in the country like I did. That kind of news spreads fast in the country. And so, Mary leaves Nazareth. First, fact of the matter, let me go back just a little bit. She's a poor girl. She's a country girl. She lives in an out-of-the-way town called Nazareth that the Bible raises the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth is that town that you think is the scum of the earth, whatever it is. I used to think it was the town I grew up in South Carolina in racism, but it's gotten better now. But Nazareth is like that town that you think is the worst town in the world. And Mary grows up in that town. She gets pregnant and the Lord looks upon her with favor. An angel shows up and says, you have found favor in the eyes of God. Mary's probably saying favor. She leaves Nazareth and goes to Jerusalem, let's say, and she goes to look for her cousin by the name of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant as well by the Holy Spirit because she's old and not supposed to have a baby. And Mary is surprised because she's young and doesn't understand how it is possible that she is pregnant without having had a relationship with a man. And so she goes to the old woman so that the old woman can explain that. Every Mary ought to have an Elizabeth. Every young girl, you might not, and I guess you won't get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But I guarantee you, you will have something to come up in your life that you do not understand. You will have some situation that will come upon you that you will need some older person to try to make sense out of it. And I hope that you will have an Elizabeth that you'll know where to go before your trouble comes. God help us if we have a church full of Marys with no Elizabeth to be found. That's the problem right now. That's our problem in America right now. Let me say that again. That's our problem in America right now. You got all these Marys going to Mary. All these 15-year-olds going to 13-year-olds. Let me straighten you out, girl. You need an Elizabeth. You need somebody who's been through something. You need somebody who's prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And one more time, and prayed. Then the other thing that I like about it is when Mary went to Elizabeth didn't scandalize her. How in the world do you get pregnant? Girl, what are you talking about? We ain't had it like that before. The holy what? Elizabeth affirmed her. Elizabeth encouraged her. Elizabeth said, you are a woman highly favored of God. Elizabeth encouraged this young girl. You need somebody that can encourage you when you're going through your midnight and your storm experiences. Do I have a witness in the house? Notice this. Mary had an Elizabeth, but both of them had an angel. They had the same angel. Gabriel looked upon this old woman and said, your prayers have been heard. Gabriel not only looked upon her, he gave her a positive prophecy. He said, not only Elizabeth, are you going to have a baby. You're going to have a boy. You know, back in those days, you have a girl, but it didn't count the same as if you had a boy. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And then he said, not only are you going to have a boy, but he's going to be great. He's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a prophet. He's going to turn people around. He's going to turn fathers to their children. He's going to be great. He's going to be something. Girl, you've been praying for 90 years, but finally, when this boy comes, he's going to be bad. I mean bad in a good way. Gabriel not only talks to Elizabeth, but he goes down and he talks to this young girl, Mary. This poor girl, this on the wrong side of the tracks. They grew up in Nazareth. Nobody expected anything good to come out of the ghetto. You know how we are in America. No, nobody expects much from hood people. God works the way God wants. Not everybody born in a palace turns out right, and not everybody born in a stable turns out wrong. God is at work in life, and God can bring something out of nothing. Fact of the matter is, if truth be told, Mary was a nobody. She didn't have any pedigree. She didn't have any advocate necessarily. She just was a regular, ordinary, poor girl that God found favor with. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad God found favor with me. I don't deserve it. I'm nobody special. I've messed up big time. I've fallen short. But God found favor with me. God loved me in spite of myself. God made a way for me. And I thank God that he's found favor with me. When everybody else found no favor with me. When everybody else said it was over for me. God found favor for me. You want to know why I worship him? Because he found favor. You want to know why I say thank you, Jesus? Because he found favor. You want to know why every now and then I break out into praise dance? Because he found favor for a wretch like me. I did not deserve it. But he found favor. Thanks be to God. When a little 15-year-old. I heard deacons praying today for our children. Sometimes, you know, we need to just remind ourselves. Sometimes I've learned a long time ago, sometimes other folk can bless your kids when you can't. When you try to straighten your kids out, they don't want to hear you. That's old dad. That's old mom. But it could be a teacher somewhere that says a word of affirmation. It could be a friend somewhere that just gives a word of affirmation. Look at somebody and say, we need each other. I need you and you need me and my kids need you. And we need to have a word of encouragement for our children. When I can't say it, when they won't listen to mom, when they won't listen to dad, they will listen to a cousin Elizabeth. Oh, how many of you glad that Mary didn't go to Joseph first? My guess is Joseph had to process some stuff. How many of you glad that Mary had to get out of town? My guess is that if she'd gone to town folk, how many of you know there's some busy bee tongues working in whatever town you live in. She had to get out of town for a while. She had to go up to Elizabeth's house. And then the other thing I like about this, Christmas is about hearing angels talk. No, you saying, Ram, I ain't heard no angel. I don't even know what an angel look like. Look at the person next to you. They got a little angel in them. They got a little devil in them, too. The question is, which one do they have most of? Do they have more devil than angel? But look at somebody and say, there was a time when I had more devil and was proud of it. But since Jesus has come into my life, it's changed and I got more angel in me than I got. I still got a little bit now, but I got more angel in me now. And the angel had a positive word for this little girl. The angel says, Mary, Elizabeth's going to have a great boy, but you're going to have a greater boy. You're going to have one that takes away the sins of the world. You're going to have one that rules nations. You're going to have one that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You're going to have a son, and his name, I don't want Joseph to name him. The angel said his name shall be called Jesus, and he's a wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords and the King. You're going to have a boy. But not only are you going to have a boy, you're going to have a savior. In this text, Christmas is about prayers being answered. But it's also about verse 37, for nothing is impossible. You gotta believe that. You know, that little stuff you're going through, that little relationship problems you're going through, that little sickness that you have, that little unemployment situation that you have, that little difficulty that you have, that little lonely experience that you have, nothing is impossible for God. You got to believe Christmas is about making the impossible possible. Christmas is about 90-year-old women having babies. Christmas is about Jesus coming to little girls and the Son of Man be born. Christmas is about turning the situation around and giving glory to God once the situation is turned around. Christmas is about hallelujah anyhow in the midst of mess. Christmas is about God among us. Christmas is about God coming near us. Christmas is about a new birth and a new beginning. And then, if you read on, let me take this moment to do what Ella says. Let me take this moment to have a teaching moment. Y'all know how I just love to teach. This teaching moment, in the Catholic and the Episcopal church, probably more so than others, but in other denominations too, we don't talk too much about it in the Baptist, but there's something called the Annunciation. That's when Gabriel shows up and announces to Elizabeth and to Zechariah, your prayers have been heard, and you shall have a son, and his name shall be called John. Look at somebody say, he's announcing. And they call that the Annunciation. And then, not only did Gabriel talk to Elizabeth, then he goes on down to this little out-of-the-way town. I'm so glad that God visits houses in the ghetto. Because if he had not come to the ghetto, he would have missed the projects of Baal. Any more project children here? Any project children here that know that was good living? That was really a promotion? Any project kid here know that was an answer to a prayer? To have a bathroom in the house and running water? Second Annunciation. The first one, he announces it to suburbia, if you will, big downtown Jerusalem. When he announces it to Elizabeth, who's married to Zechariah, who probably is a middle class, status oriented woman. But then he goes down to the hood in downtown Nazareth, Poorville, where nobody wants to go. And there's a question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he shows up and he announces to Mary, you're going to have a son. His name shall be called Jesus. And at his name every knee shall bow. And so Mary says, as you have said, let it be done to me. Later on, here's my second teaching moment. You got the Annunciation. He announces to Elizabeth. He announces to Mary. Unlike our announcements today, usually announcements around here drive me crazy. But on that day, when he announces, he says, you're going to have a son. One is John and one is Jesus. And then Mary goes and she starts singing the Magnificat. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, he has taken me of low estate or nobody way down here in Nazareth, and he found me and he found favor. Give honor to his name. He's worthy of all the praise. He has taken the mighty low and he's elevated the low and made him somebody. I just want to worship him. I bet you she was praise dancing. I bet you she was worshiping God with everything she had because she wanted everybody to know that I want to magnify the Lord. I'm not worthy of his goodness, but he looked beyond my faults and he saw my need and he saw something in me to elevate me, and I'm going to give him the praise. So we have the Annunciation. And we have the Magnificat. Whenever the Bible talks about magnifying, our problem is down here in this crazy world we live in, we magnify junk. We magnify gossip. We'll take a molehill and make it a mountain. But when you think about what God in Christ has done for you and done for me, we ought to blow it up. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I know I don't deserve all of his grace, but because of his loving kindness and his tender mercies, he made a way for me. And I don't always do it, but when I think about where I should have been and where I could have been, when I think about that I ought to have been, I had AIDS, and when I think about that I should have been in jail, and when I think about that I might have been dead, when I think about that the accident might have killed me, when I think about that I was drunk and driving and had an accident and he spared my life, my soul says, magnify the Lord with me. Praise his holy name with me. Give him the honor with me. Give him the glory. One last time. This may be the last time. I don't know. While I have a chance, I just want to magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify. Oh, I don't feel like praising isn't magnify. I don't feel like clapping my hands, but when I think about that I could have been out of here, magnify. Don't just give him a little mini praise. Magnify. Holler it out. Praise the Lord. Give him the glory. Hallelujah. 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 He's been good. He's been real good. He kept me. He made a way. There's one or two Marys in the house. There's one or two Marys in the house. And they feel like they're boxed in and they can't see their way. They don't see how they're going to make it. But look at your name and say, your name, Elizabeth? I mean, I'm going through. I just need, don't ask me. Let me change it. Ask him, have you ever had a Mary experience? Have you ever had an experience where you didn't know how you're going to get out of it? You don't know how you're going to make it through when you felt like you were boxed in? All right. Now I want you to ask him, have you ever had an Elizabeth experience? That's when you thought it was too late for God to show up. And God showed up late in the day and changed your circumstance. And if that's the case, I'm Mary coming to you, Elizabeth. Do you have a word of encouragement for you? Do you believe that God will bring me out and bring me through? If so, let your head back and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Woo. Two women. Elizabeth and Mary. I guess next week I ought to talk about two men, Zacharias and Joseph. But I don't know if I'm going to do that next week, but today, two women. Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church.